We're holding on Ches Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the end of the narrow line, so about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. We learned yesterday that when the Hashmonaim defeated the Greeks, and then eventually all the various other Greek kingdoms over there also fell. And we said they were partnered together with the Romans at the time. The Romans themselves had been trying to conquer the Greeks for many years, we said, and they weren't getting anywhere. And now the combined efforts of the Jews and the Romans are going to make that possible. So they made a deal. They made a power-sharing deal. The Gemara had said that the Romans said to the Jews, at any given time, either we'll be providing the kings or the supreme leaders, whatever you want to call them back then. At that point in history, the Romans didn't have kings. They had consuls. Then you'll provide the governors of the provinces and vice versa. So we said that arrangement lasted for 26 years, and then the Romans started reneging on their end and started lording it over the Jews who are in this deal. Historically, you know, decades later, you had two Hashmonai brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, who were fighting over the crown, and they called in the Romans to help, and the Romans then actually took over Eretz Yisrael. So here we're talking about, that was about 130 years before the Churban. Here, as the Gemara is going to say, the Roman domination of Eretz Yisrael, not following this power sharing agreement began, as the Gemara is going to say soon, 180 years before the Churban. So apparently the idea was at that point the Hashmonaim are still nominally independent according to the historical works that we have. But the Gemara apparently is understanding that there was a shift at that point, a noticeable shift in how the Romans are treating their Jewish allies. They may not officially be ruling over Eretz Yisrael, but they're showing much more aggressiveness and assertiveness in this relationship rather than considering the Jews to be actual equals with them. So the Gemara says, Esrin v'shis shnin d'komu b'hemu nesayu. This is that we said that the Romans remained faithful to the conditions of their treaty and considered the Jews as full equals for 26 years. Menalon, where do we see that there were doubt for 26 years? Now, the answer is going to be, we're going to go through a long discussion of Jewish chronology, of Jewish history, and eventually only at the top of the next Amud are we going to get the answer where we see the 26 years. So like this. Da'amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana tells, Keshachola Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi. When Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yosi was sick, Shochule, they sent to him a message, Rebbe, Emur Lanu Shnayim B'Gimel Dvarim, Shamar Talonu Meshum Avichal. Please tell us over two or three things that you had previously told us from your father, Rav Yosi. We find a number of places in Shas that expression, so apparently either the idea, and each time it's a different list of things, so apparently Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yosi was sick a number of different times in his life, very seriously sick, and each time they were concerned he might pass away, and then things that he learned from his father was the famous Tanner of Yossi, known in full as Rabbi Yossi Rav Chalasta, who composed Seder Olam, which is a medrash that goes through Jewish history, Jewish chronology. So each time he was not well, Rabbi Shmuel, they were concerned that information that he had learned personally from his father might be lost, and so they would ask him to tell it over to them. So Rabbi Shmuel answers them as follows. 180 years before the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So in the handout that I gave before, this is the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The Gemara is going to talk about that point later, about the year of the Churban. The second Beis Hamikdash, at least the way the Gemara phrases it, was destroyed in the year 3828 since creation. So now it's 5785, meaning that it's been therefore 1957 years since the Churban. We'll talk about later on whether that actually equals 3828 as we count it. But anyway, for right now, let's just stick with that. So then 180 years before that is 3648, 180 years before the Churban. So then at that point, Poshta, Malchus HaRasha, Yisrael, the wicked kingdom of the Romans, spread and dominated over the Jewish people. So the Gemara is going to explain soon what that again, as we said before, that was 26 years after that original power sharing agreement. But we'll get to that later on. So 180 years before is when the Romans officially began dominating Eretz Yisrael. Then he continues 180 years before the Churban. So 100 years later, in the year 3748, Gozru Tumal Eretz Ha'amim. That is when the Chachamim made the Gzeres about Eretz Ha'amim, about lands outside Eretz Yisrael, that a person who goes into them becomes Tomei. The Gemara actually mentions elsewhere that there were a few different stages of that Gzeira. There was a much older Gzeira. That dirt that comes from there is Tomei, is Tomei B'Sofek, because sometimes the Goyim would often just bury people indiscriminately in places, and there may be fragments of human remains in that dirt. Then you have Og Zeta over here, that even a person goes there, a person who goes in there, even let's say he goes in there in a closed box or whatever, still becomes Tomei, but only Tumas Sofik. And then the Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos mentions that eventually they made another Gzeira, which is that it's not just Tumas Sofik, it's Tumas Vadai. Anyway, so one stage in that was 80 years before the Churban, they made this Gzeira. Valkleiz Chuchis, and they also made a Gzeira about glass Kalim, that they're able to become Tomei, and that they have the same din as far, that they have much the same dinim as Klei Cheres, as earthenware Kalim, because they're also made, just like earthenware is made from clay, sand is made from glass, and the Chachamim evidently were concerned that there's that people are not going to realize the difference, that people are not going to realize the difference. If glass is not metame, then they're going to think neither is earthenware. There are certain details of differences as far as the halacha between them, but before that, glass was not metame at all, and now it's metame, and now it's able to become tamei midrabanan. So they made those two gzeiros. As far as the Eretz Ha'amim, one possibility is during that time, 80 years before the Churban, it's during the time when Hurdus is ruling over Eretz Yisrael, things were not so great in Eretz Yisrael, so people were starting to leave and move to other countries. Maybe the Chachamim figured that we need this Gzeira to discourage that movement. And as far as the glass Kalim, that at that time also with luxuries such as glass coming into Eretz Yisrael, I guess the Chachamim figured it's becoming more common and we need to make such a Gzeira. Anyway, the third thing, continues Rabbi Shmuel, our boim shana ad shalei chorav abayis, 40 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, so now we're at the year 3788, Golus the Sanhedrin, then the Sanhedrin went into Golus, the Yoshvava b'Chanus, and it settled in a place called Chanus. Some place Rashi describes Chanus as a place on the Har HaBayis. It may have been called Chanus because they had Parshat stores over there where people would come and buy things for the Churbanis, but whatever it is, they moved out of the Lushkas HaGozis. So the Gemara asks Lamai Hilchsa, why is that relevant for us to know? What was the point of them moving? And the answer is Amar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Loimar. That tells you Shalei Donu Dine Knossos. From then on, the Sanhedrin did not judge Dine Knossos. Which is you have the various kinds of things that we learned about in Sanhedrin and in Shavuos that are categorized as a knas. Any time where the Torah tells you a fixed amount a person has to pay, for example, his ox gored and killed somebody's eved, he has to pay a fixed 30 sloyim. An onus and mafata has to pay a fixed 50 sloyim, or where the amount of payment is in most cases more or less than the actual damage, such as for example most cases of chatzi nezek or tashlumei kefil and other things like that, all knosis. So the Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says, once they moved out of Lushkas HaGozis, they could no longer judge those. What do you mean, Dine Knossos? What do you mean, Dine Knossos? Of course they could still judge Dine Knossos. For a long time after that, even. For that, they don't need to be in the Lushkas HaGozis. All they need is Smicha. We learned this in Sanhedrin. Bram Zohar Oysher Ishla Tov. In truth, Bram literally means however, but sometimes the Gemara uses it to mean really, in truth, Zohar Oysar Ish Latov, that man should be remembered for good, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmoy, his name is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Sheol Molehu, if it weren't for him, Nishtakhu Dinik Knossos Mi'Yisrael. Dinik Knossos would have been forgotten from among the Jewish people. So again, the Gemara interjects to understand what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. What do you mean Nishtakhu? What do you mean we would have forgotten them? Ligrasinu, all we have to do is keep on learning them. The knowledge of them doesn't have to depend on the one chacham Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Tosfos brings that there was a girsa lichtavinu, they should write him down. But no, this is before Torah Shabbat Peh was able to be written down. But why are we crediting the survival of the knowledge of Dinei Knossos to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? So rather, Ella, so Ella butlu dine knosses misrael. What Rav meant to say, and Rabbi Huda is quoting from him, is the dine knosses would have ceased among the Jewish people. They would have no longer been able to judge them, because for that you need the smicha ish mi piyish. As Rashi points out, we learned in Sanhedrin because you have the word Elikim, and Elikim means mumchim, smuchim, whatever. Anyway, so what happened? So we learned the story in Sanhedrin. To Gozra Malchus Harasha Gzera, the wicked kingdom of Rome made a Gzera. Shekolas Soimich Yehorig, anybody who gives smicha will be killed. Now the Romans specifically were after smicha because they knew that once the chain of smicha is broken, they'll never be able to restore it, or at least not without great difficulty. Historically, eventually, that chain was broken, and in fact, Ad Yemazeh, they haven't been able to fully successfully restore it. Famously, Rabbi Yaakov Beirav made an effort about 500 years ago in the year Reish Tzadik Ches, 1538. That he put together a base din of the Rabbanim of Tzfas in Eretz Yisrael, and they followed an opinion of the Rambam and reinstated smicha and gave him smicha, and he in turn gave several other chacham of his time smicha, but it was tremendously controversial, and it never fully took off. And Ad Yemazeh there have been several other efforts, none of which either made it anywhere. So the Romans knew all that. They had enough Jewish informants, unfortunately, or the early Christians, or ones like that, that they knew if they can break the chain of smicha, then it's very difficult, if not impossible, to restore, and therefore particularly they were after that. So they made a gzeira, shekolas soimich yehorig, anybody who gives smicha is going to be killed, v'chol nismach yehorig, anybody who receives smicha is going to be killed, v'ir shesoimchen batechrav, any city where they do the smicha is going to be destroyed. Even the tchum around the city where they do the smicha, te'oker, will be uprooted. Meaning, let's say, so fine, they're going to say, we won't do the smicha in a city. We'll do it out in the middle of nowhere. Then fine, we're still going to, we'll uproot and destroy that whole tchum. Ma also Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, so what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do? Holach, he wanted to continue smicha, so it shouldn't get broken. Holach v'yoshav ben shnei horim gdolim, he went and sat between two great mountains, which the Romans are not going to be able to destroy those mountains. Ben shtei ayores gdolos, between two big cities, so not within any one city, so the Romans wouldn't have an excuse to destroy those cities. Ben shnei tchum shabbos, and between two tchum shabbos of two cities, so each one, this way, it's not in the tchum of either one. The two cities were Ben Usha and Shfaram, between Usha and Shfaram, which are two cities in the Golil, in the north of Eretz Yisrael. The Samach Sham Chamishas Kenim, and there he gave smicha to five elders, five hachamim. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon, Reb Elazar ben Shamua, Reb Ivya Moisif, after Reb Nechemia. Reb Ivya adds, there was a sixth one over there, Reb Nechemia. Continues the story. Kivinshi, Kiru Behem Oivim, the enemies realized that they were there and that he had given smicha, and Roman soldiers are coming after them. Omalahem, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, says to the five or six chachamim that he had just given smicha, Bonai, he says, my sons, Rutsu, run away from here. Omru Loi, they said, Rebbe, va'atamata he'alacha. Rebbe, what's going to happen with you? You're old, you can't run away. Omalahem, he tells them, Harin mutalifnehem ke'evin she'en lahoifchim. I'm going to sit here over there. I'm going to lie here in front. I'm going to stay here in front of them like a stone that can't be turned. In other words, I'm going to stay here stubbornly and, So I'll accept the Misa without even, in fact, Marasho explains, and when we learned this in Sanhedrin, Marasho explains that like a stone also means I won't even suffer tsar. It's brought in Sfarim from the Rishonim in Sefer Chassidim and in other places that people who are killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, taka, when they're doing it, L'Shem Shamayim, they taka don't feel pain. There are documented examples of it from the Middle Ages when Jews were being burnt at the stake and killed in other ways, Al Kiddush Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying, I'm going to be the same way. I'll be like an unfeeling stone. But he also meant, in other words, this way it'll slow down the Romans. They'll be busy dealing with him, and the other chachamim will have time to escape. Sure enough, Omru, the Chacham said, Lozozo Misham, the Romans did not leave there, they'd stuck into his body 300 iron spears. He was one of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, is one of the Asor HaRogei Malchus. We mentioned him on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. So this is how he was one of the Asor HaRogei Malchus. He was killed by all the Roman spears. They made his body like a sieve, pierced through and through with holes all over the place. The point is, in other words, that so it's thanks to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that smicha continued. Keep in mind, smicha can be given only in Eretz Yisrael, and there's various other rules about it. So his bravery preserved smicha for generations to come. The point then is, in other words, that even that's long, long after the Churban. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, again, being one of the Asar Aruga Malchus, is 50 or 60 years after the Churban. Here we're saying that 40 years before the Churban, so 100 years earlier, we're saying the Sanhedrin had left the Lishkas HaGozis, and we're saying that affected Dinei Knossos. Why would it affect Dinei Knossos? They still had smicha. Nobody was threatening it then. So what's the problem? So Amr of Nachum Yitzchok said, Amr Nachum Yitzchok clarifies what we said before. Loi tema dinei knossos. You're right. Don't say that the Sanhedrin leaving Lishkas HaGozis affected dinei knossos. Ela shalai donu dinei nefoshos. Rather, it's that they no longer could judge dinei nefoshos. They couldn't judge capital cases. Why? My timer. Kivin de chazun, an official who writes chin, the Chachamim saw that murderers are getting more prevalent. There was a period of time over here when you had, again, this is as we said before, this is 140 years after the Romans had taken over in Eretz Yisrael. You can find, based on history books from that time, in particular Josephus's histories, you had tzedukim, you had various other types like that. You had biryonim and so on and so forth who are killing each other with impunity. We're not talking about the good frum Jews who are still very much keeping Torah and mitzvahs, and no, not suspect of such things. But you have enough people who are powerful or close to power on the caste half removed from Yiddishkeit who are going and killing one another with armed gangs, and the Chachamim realize that they can't judge them anymore. There's too many of them. You're not allowed. There's a limit how many people they can execute. As the Mishnah tells us in Makkos, if a Sanhedrin executes two people too often, it's called the destructive Beis Din. And besides that, as a practical matter, many times these people were being shielded by their friends in power, and therefore they wouldn't be able to. So the Chacham realized, Omru, so they said, Mutav Nigli, Mimokam Mimokam, better let us go into Golos from one place to another. We'll leave the Lishkas HaGozis, and that way, Kihechi Dolele Chayvu, that way we won't be liable. That way, the Roitzchim won't be liable to death, because only when the Sanhedrin is in the Lishkas HaGozis, can any Sanhedrin of 23 or the Sanhedrin of 71 judge Dinei Nefoshos. So if we move from Lishkas HaGozis, then the whole concept of Dinei Nefoshos is bottle, and now it'll be up to Hashem to deal with them. As the pasuk says, you should act according to the matter that they tell you from that place, from the Beis Hamikdash. Melamed shamokam gorim. From here we learn that the place where the Sanhedrin is located makes the difference. They have to be in the place where they have to be in the place where the Shechina is. They have to be in the place in the Beis Hamikdash, which the Lishkas HaGozis was in the Beis Hamikdash. So now, once they move from that, even though in the rest of the Harabayis, then they can't judge Dinei Nefoshos. Neither can any other Sanhedrin, and therefore, so now Hashem will have to deal with the Roitzchim. Tosfos points out there are other Gemaras that imply that once in a while there were Dinei Nefoshos even during those 40 years. So the answer is, Tosfos says that once in a while, in an exceptional case, they would temporarily return to the Lishkas HaGozis and judge a case of Dinei Nefoshos. But basically not. Tosfos also discusses further that when it comes to Dinei Nefoshos, now even though, of course, Yerushalayim is also called Lifnei Hashem, as far as Ma'aser Sheni and Kodshim and other things, but as far as this din of Dinei Nefoshos, it has to be the Lishkas HaGozis, which specifically was located Chetzi B'Kodesh, Chetzi B'Chol, half inside the Azara, half outside it. It had to be partially outside for the Sanhedrin to be able to sit, but it had to be partially inside for it to be considered in the Beis Hamikdash. So, and since that section about listening to the Sanhedrin goes on to talk about the Zaken Mamre, who was executed, then we understand that when the Sanhedrin is not in the Lishkas HaGozis, then there's no Dinei Nefoshos. So now it's relevant for us to know that 40 years before the Churban, they left the Lishkas HaGozis, and from then on, there were few to no Dinei Nefoshos. Okay, so that was all. So those three statements were what Rabbi Shmuel informed the other Chachamim from that his father, Rabbi Yossi, had said. The three things that happened 180 years, 80 years, and 40 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. In our handout before, their respective years 3648, 3748, and 3788. So now,
Getting back to this matter of the original relationship between the Jews and the Romans, the Gemara says, Meo Shmoinim Betulai. You're telling me only that the Romans dominated them for 180 years and no more than that. V'hatani, but we learn in another Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Berebi taught in a Braisa, and on the side of it here, Vartani Rabbi Yossi Omer, that's Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi who wrote Seder Olam, actually says differently. He gives the chronology as follows. The second Beis Mikdash stood for 420 years. How does that break down in terms of who ruled over Eretz Yisrael during that period? Malchus Poras b'fnei Abayis shloshim v'arba shana. The Persians continued to rule after the second Beis Mikdash was built for 34 years. They had first, you had the kingdom of Babel, which destroyed the first Beis Mikdash. They continued to rule afterwards. You had Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his grandson for 52 years after the Churban. Then their kingdom was overthrown and replaced by Poras of Madai. They ruled for the Kurdish gave permission to build the second Beis Mikdash, then that permission was rescinded, and 18 years passed. Then the Nevi'im told them to continue building the Beis Mikdash, and sure enough, they continued, and soon enough, they got official permission from Daryavesh, the son of Ahasuerus and Esther, to continue rebuilding. From that point, when they actually continued the rebuilding uninterruptedly, from that point, we date the years of the second Beis Mikdash. That year was 3408 since creation. And from that point on, the Persians continued to rule for another 34 years after that. Then Malchus Yovan b'fnei Abayis, then the Greeks took over, Alexander the Great and his successors, and they ruled while the Beis Mikdash was standing, Meo Shmoinim Shana, for 180 years. So they conquered the Persians in the year 3442 and began ruling, and they continued to rule until 3622, which is when the Hashmonaim overthrew them. You have over here on this handout, I have the column over there, Era of Shtaris and Era of Churban. So Era of Churban we're dealing with now, Era of Shtaris the Gemara deals with later in the Sugya. Anyway, that was 180 years of Greek domination. Then you have Malchus Chashmonoi b'fnei Abayis Mei v'Shalosh. The Chashmonoim ruled while the second Beis Mikdash was standing for 103 years. And then, after that, then the Chashmonaim were overthrown, wiped out by Hurdus, and then Malchus Beis Hurdus, and then Hurdus and his descendants' rule also lasted Mei v'Shalosh for another 103 years. You had Hurdus himself, you had his children and grandchildren, who ruled over various parts of Eretz Yisrael, and during parts of that period, you also had Roman governors that were ruling over parts of Eretz Yisrael. But altogether, when we say Malchus Beis Hurdus, we mean the whole time when Hurdus and his descendants were a factor in all of this. So altogether, so 34, plus 180, plus 103 equals 420, so that accounts for the entire period of the second Beis Mikdash. Mikan ve'elach, after that, continues Rabbi Yossi, seva hashrev kamashonam acha churban abayis, after that, go calculate how many years it is since the churban, meaning, in other words, if you have, you're going to write a shtar, or you want to tell the year that something happened, then count X number of years since the churban. Back then, as we're going to see from the continuation of the Gemara over here, they knew about the minyan liyitzira. They knew about the concept of counting years since creation, but it wasn't very common. More commonly, they used other systems that began from other major events in history, and one of them, Rabbi Yossi, is saying that you can count from the years of the Churban. They, in fact, found many examples from Eretz Yisrael, from those centuries, from the times of the Tanoim and Amoraim, things that are dated according to the years of the Churban. Anyway, Alma Mosin v'Shis Havu. So now, the last 206 years, then we're saying, were 103 of Chashmonaim, 103 of Hurdus. Now, the Chashmonaim, we said, when they took power and they defeated and overthrew the Greeks, was together with the Romans. So that's 206 years before the Churban. And yet before, Rabbi Shmuel had quoted his father, Rabbi Yossi, as saying that the Romans were dominating the Jews for only 180 years. You said before it was 180. That's where we get the 26 years. Ella, so now you understand what happened. Esther said, indeed, the Greeks were overthrown in the year 3622. At that point, yeah, we're talking specifically the Syrian Greek kingdom, which was the most powerful of the Greek kingdoms that had been established after Alexander the Great. So in the year 3622, they were gone. That, by the way, you have there's some places it says that that was the actual year of the Nes Chanukah, meaning in that year the Chashmonaim fought against the Greeks, recaptured the Beis Hamikdash, rededicated it, lit the menorah, and then during the course of that year they continued fighting against them and eventually overthrew them completely. Others say, based on the books of Chashmonaim and based on other sources, that in fact it was a long drawn out thing, that the Nes Chanukah actually happened 20 odd years before that, and then it took them many years of fighting before they completely overthrew that kingdom. Whatever the case, 206 years before the Churban is when the Chashmonaim took power, but we're saying that was in partnership with the Romans. Then, Esther and the Shishnin come up behind Messiah Bahab Israel. Now, for 26 years, the Romans kept their end of the deal with the Jews, Veloy Shtabdubuhu, and they did not dominate over the Jews and lord it over them. And that is why Rabbi Yossi, quoting his father, does not say that they started ruling over the Jews 206 years before the Churban, but rather 180. It's not counted as Kriposh to Malchus HaRashah, Al Yisrael, that the wicked kingdom spread out and dominated over the Jewish people, because they weren't. At that time, they were treating them as equals. So that's what it was. So in 3622, 206 years before the Churban, is when the Greeks rule over Eretz Yisrael ends, and the Romans and the Jews jointly take over. And then 26 years later, 3648, is when the Romans began dominating the Jews and showing that they were the bosses and the Jews are subordinate to them. Like I said before, historical sources say it was actually only about 50 years after that, about 130 years before the Churban, that they actually marched in and literally took possession of Eretz Yisrael after the civil war between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. But here, evidently, we're talking about something where in name and in appearance, the Chashmonaim were actually still ruling independently, but in reality, behind the scenes, the Romans were controlling things. I guess in a way you could compare it to, let's say, you know, to consider, for example, the way it is in Israel now. For example, Israel is officially very much an independent country, but in practice, you know, they have to follow whatever, in practice, a lot of times they have to follow whatever America tells them. So here, during that period, after 180 years, apparently it was the same kind of thing. Okay. So now, in the Braisa that we quoted, we had Rabbi Yossi mentioning that ever since the Churban, you start counting the years from the Churban. So let's figure out how we do that. Omer Papa, Itoi Hai Tana. Suppose that a Tana who's teaching that Braisa gets mixed up. V'lo yoda proti kamahava. He doesn't know the specific year after the Churban that it is. Meaning, in other words, the idea was, it's supposed to be this Braisa that we just quoted from Rabbi Yossi. It's a Braisa from Seder Olam, which is, again, this Medrash, this collection of Braisas, or Medrashim, whatever you want to call it, that he wrote, that goes through Jewish history and explains details in it. Most of Seder Olam, by the way, deals with the time of Tanakh, and it deals with in various places. You have that seem to contradict one another as far as details of chronology in Tanakh, and Seder Olam reconciles them. But then at the end of it, it talks briefly about the time of the second Beis Hamikdash and the time after it. So now, the idea was that Braisa that we quoted before is supposed to be constantly updated. Every time that a Tana is teaching this Braisa, he should be updating it with the current year. So he'll say, for example, when he said, Sei v'hashrev kamashonim acha churban abayis, go see how many years it is after the Churban. So for example, let's say a person is standing 100 years after the Churban, then he's supposed to say that in the Braisa, that the second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years, and it's divided into those kingdoms that we said before, the Persians, the Greeks, the Chashmonaim, and Hurdus. Now, after the Churban, it's 100 years now since the Churban, and then so forth, and he would update it year by year. So what happens if the Tana has gotten mixed up and doesn't know what year after the Churban it is? So he doesn't know the Prati. Now, we can expect that he knows what century it is, but he might get mixed up. You know, to put it in modern terms, for example, he doesn't remember whether now is Tufshin Pei Dalet or Pei Hei. But he knows what century it is. So l'shayla l'safra kamaksiv, he should ask the sofer what number he is currently writing. The sofer, a person who writes documents on behalf of people, those documents are often dated using a different system of counting called minyan shtoris. Minyan shtoris counts from when the Greeks under Alexander the Great began ruling the whole known world. Here you have, on the handout, you have 3442, which is where they defeated and overthrew the Persians, and then 6 years later is when they finished conquering the rest of the known world. The Gemara is going to talk about that later on Daf Yud, that there was this 6-year gap in between. But anyway, so at that point, 3448 began a period that called in Jewish history accounting called Minyan Shtaros, because they used it in documents. Eventually, they were still using it. They were still using it regularly in the times of the Gaonim and the Rambam. Many tribus of the Gaonim are dated according to Minyan Shtaros. The Rambam mentions it in a couple of places where he's dealing with what year it is, and what in a couple of places in Yad HaZakah, and some of his tribus are all dated according to Minyan Shtaros. Jews continued to use it in various places for some time after that. In Egypt, they were still using it in the 1500s, and finally the Radvaz told them to put a stop to it and start using counting from Briyasa Olam, like everybody, like by that time, almost all Jewish communities were doing. And in Yemen, even down to our times, they were still using Minyan Shtaros. Now, it begins in 3448, so now it would be someplace, so now it's someplace in the 24th century of that, 2335 or so, 2337, whatever Minyan Shtaros it would be now. So this Tana, who's teaching this Braisa and has to remember what particular year it is since the Churban, he should ask the Sofer, what date is he writing with Shtaros? Then, now, he can ignore the centuries, because again, he will know what century it is since the Churban, he just doesn't know the particular year. Add 20 years to the number that the Sofer tells him. And then he will find his calculation. Chumre literally means like his knot, in other words, the number that he's supposed to have. So Rashi explains, the Sofer begins with Minyan Shtaros. Minyan Shtaros began 380 years before the Churban. I should have put that on this handout over here. I forgot to. But 3448 comes out to 380 years before the Churban. I do have by the year of the Churban, I have 380, which is 400 minus 20. So therefore, in other words, so comes for the actual year of the Churban itself would have been whatever it was, 3828, and it was the year 380 of Shtaros, and of course it's the year zero of the Churban. So there's a difference of 80 over there. A few years later, you're going to have, let's say, comes the year 400, let's say, it's 20 years since. So, for example, if the Sofer, Rashi explains, if the Sofer, for example, is writing that now is the year, however many 110, then you know the Tanner is going to need to have however many 130. And so forth. To give an example, to give a worked out example, in the last line over there you have, if the Sofer is writing in his document, Minyan Shtaros, he's writing the year 720, ignore the 700, take the 20, add another 20 to it to get 40, and there you go, there's your year L'Churban. And the reason it works is because there's a difference of 380 years between them. Oh, the Simonach, and your Simon, to remember, that he should add 20, as Yaakov said to Lavan, Zeli Eshim Shonim Anoichi Bebeisecha, this is 20 years now that I'm in your house. So in other words, so this helps us remember, it's 20 years that we have to add in order to get the number of years since Hashem's house, the Beis Hamikdash, was destroyed. So that's what you do. So you add 20 years to that. And then, what about the other way around? Itois Safra. What happens the other way around? What if the Sofer has forgotten what year it is, and he needs to, know what year L'Shtaros it is, then do the other way around. Shaila L'Tana, Kama Choshev. Let him ask a Tana who teaches this Braisa, what year L'Churban is it in your account? The Niv Tzeminayo, Esrin Shnin, and then subtract 20, or Mashkech L'Chumre, and then he'll have his calculation. Same thing in reverse. In other words, if the Tana tells him, right now is 340 years since the Churban, then the Sofer knows, okay, 40 minus 20 is 20. Good, then I know that the Prat of this year is 20. And then I know already it's 700 odd years in Minyan Shtaros, and therefore then I know how much it is. The simonach, the simon, to remember which is which, who adds, who subtracts, safra b'tzira. When the sofer is writing a sefer Torah or any book of Tanakh or anything like that, he writes choser. You have many words in Tanakh, many words in Chumash and the rest of Tanakh that are supposed to be written without a vav or a yud in place of the nekuda. And they're written that way, they're written choser, because that's how the Masorah tells us to write them. On the other hand, Tana, Tana, Tosfah, a Tana teaches the Tesefta, which is a collection of Braises that expands on the Mishnah, and Tesefta literally means adding. So, So that helps us remember, it can also mean that the Tanna, if he has occasion to write down for himself privately notes on what he's learned, then he's not necessarily going to stick to the Masoda spelling of words. He's going to write the Mole in, because back then, Nakudas weren't written down yet, so he would write the words Mole in order to help him remember that this word has these Nakudas. So the Sofer, so to speak, leaves out letters that are not supposed to be written there, according to the Masoda, and the Tanna adds them in, or learns the Tesefta. That helps us remember that the Sofer has to subtract to get his number, and the Tanna has to add to get his number. And either way, the difference is 20 years. Okay. Now the Gemara gives him the hue. Let's talk about a similar concept, more about chronology. Tonad ve'Eliyahu, we learn a brisa from the yeshiva of Eliyahu, whether does Eliyahu over here mean Eliyahu Anavi? Be'er Sheva says no, it means a Tanna named Eliyahu, whatever the case. You have a Braisa, which we learned in Sanhedrin as well. Sheshes alofim shana hava olam. The world is destined to last 6,000 years. The world as we know it, that is. Later on, the Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin what happens after those 6,000. Anyway, the 6,000 break down as follows. Shnei alofim tohu. The first 2,000 were tohu, were emptiness, because the Torah wasn't given yet then, and then, so therefore it's like, it's tohu, it's useless, so to speak. In Hasidus, we talk about the idea that it comes from Olam HaTohu, and so on and so forth. Shnei Alofim Torah, then you have 2,000 years of Torah, meaning that the Torah was given during that time. Not to say that the Torah does not continue after that period, means Rashi says Torah before Yemos HaMashiach. And then Shnei Alofim, Yemos HaMashiach, and another 2,000 during which Mashiach is supposed to be coming. However, because of our Averus, Abavanisenu, Yotsumahen, what has passed of them has already passed. Meaning, in other words, here, when the Gemara was written, was in the early 4,000s. So, in other words, here, by that time, Mashiach should have been there, according to this Braita, should have been there at the year 4,000. And now, the Tanna of this Braita is saying, now it's 100, 200, 300, whatever it is, years since that, and then Mashiach still hasn't come yet, because of our Averus. So first the Gemara is going to deal with how we know the 2,000 years of Tohu and the 2,000 years of Torah, and when do they count from, and then we'll get to how we interconvert between the years Liyitzira and the other eras that we were talking about, the Shtodis and the Chorban. But first, when we say over here Shnei Alofim Torah, so again, Rashi says it means Torah without Mashiach, meaning it would not to say that it doesn't mean that after the year 4,000 there's no Torah. It means that after the year 4,000 is supposed to be Torah with Mashiach, and unfortunately it hasn't been yet. You know, if the Tanoim could say that when it was a little after the year 4,000, what are we going to say now when we're 1,700 years into what's supposed to be Yemos Mashiach, and Mashiach still isn't here yet? Anyway. There are other explanations. The Ramban gives an explanation that it means, in other words, after the year 4,000, we can't really call it the year's Shel Torah, because the Golos became very, very more powerful over us, and therefore we really don't learn Torah in the way that we're supposed to. So therefore, it can't really be called Yemei Torah anymore. So instead, it's Yemei Mashiach. It's the day when Mashiach is supposed to come, and unfortunately, he's delayed. Another way of looking at it related to that is that after the year 4,000, you didn't have the great gatherings of Torah that you had before. Shortly before the year 4,000 is when Rebbe composed the Mishnayos, and then after that, you have the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael gradually started to deteriorate under Roman persecution and other things like that, and therefore you really didn't have the great gatherings of Torah and the great ability to learn Torah on a high level as you did before. Some interesting things in that regard, that is about the time between the transition, between the time of the Tanoim and the Amoraim. And what made that difference is partially this, because now you don't have this clarity of learning Torah that you had during the Shnei Alofim Torah. Interesting point the Chazon Ish makes about it in one of his Sforim is we have things in Halacha where what determines certain things in Halacha, notably in Hilchos Tzefes, is the state of the world as it was in those times, even if since then Nishtanu Ativim. Sometimes we say that human nature and the nature of the world at large has changed in the time since the Gemara was composed. Nevertheless, the dinim still stay the same. So an example is Hilchos Treifas that Amram explains. There are certain things where, certain conditions where the Gemara tells us and Halacha tells us that an animal is treif from it, that it will die within 12 months, but medical science tells us that not so, the animal can continue to live with that, and vice versa. The Amram says, it doesn't matter, we only go according to the listings that the Torah gives us. So the Chazon Ish explains the rationale behind that. Shnei Alafim Torah means during those 2,000 years is when the parameters of what is Torah and what isn't Torah are set, and therefore even if things change after that, and even if medical science develops more, and even if the actual physical nature of animals changes after that, it doesn't matter, the halacha is still fixed according to what it was in the Shnei Alafim Torah. Anyway. So first, before we get to how to interconvert between that and the other systems, first the Gemara deals with, what do we mean, Shnei Alafim Torah Me'emas? When are we counting the 2,000 years of Torah from? In naming Matan Torah Ad Hashta, you're going to say it's from Matan Torah until now. Matan Torah was in the year 2448 since creation, and you're going to say that you're going to say, in other words, 2000 is not meant to be exact. It's not like if things turn over exactly at the end of a certain millennium. So it means approximately. So you're going to say it means counts from then. Can't. Lecha Kolahai, not that long has passed since then. The Torah was given in 2448. And the Gemara was completed, the official completion of the Gemara was in the year 4260. So a little over 1800 years after Matan Torah. So Lecha Kolahai. So what do you mean? The Braisa is saying more than the 2000 of Torah have already passed and was supposed to be Yemosa Mashiach, and unfortunately Mashiach hasn't come yet. What do you mean? At the time when the Braisa was composed, and even the time when the Gemara was completed, it had not that much time has passed. Dikima Einus Behu, when you look into what year did Matan Torah take place? Trei Alfi or Prati Dehai Alfa or Dehavoi. It comes out, it's 2,000 plus several hundred years into the next millennium. The Torah was given in the year 2448. It actually goes through the whole detailed calculation. The gist of it is you go through the ages that are given in Parshas Bereishis and Noach. Adam had Shais when he was X number of years old, and Shais had Enosh when he was X number of years old, and so forth. And you add all that together, so you get the year of the Mabul. Then you continue from there with the numbers in Parshas Noach, and you come out that Avraham was born in the year 1948. Then he had Yitzchok when he was 100, so that brings us to 2048, and from then on we have 400 years until you see us in Tzidayim and not in Torah, so it comes out the Torah was given in 2448. So what was the Braisa bothered by? What do you mean? The 2,000 years of Torah have passed, and Mashiach hasn't come yet. In the time when the Braisa was composed and when the Gemara was completed, 2,000 years have not yet passed since Matan Torah. That's one way of explaining. Tosfos Rabbeinu Yochanan says that there's actually two questions. So Rashi is saying basically the question is, what do you mean the 2,000 years of Torah have passed? They haven't yet. Tosfos Rabbeinu Yochanan says a different way. First of all, how are we saying the 2,000 years have passed? But second of all, why is the Tana calling Shnei Alafim Torah? He should have said that it's 2448. It should have said 2448. He shouldn't be just rounding it down to 2,000. So the answer is Ella. No, the 2,000 years begins me ve'esanefesh asher also b'choron. From when it says that Avraham and Sarah were moving to Eretz Yisrael, Avraham and Sarai, they were at the time, and they took with them the souls that they had made in Choron, which means the people that they had been megayer when they still lived in Choron, they took along with them to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi points out, Targum Onkelos, Rashi on the Pasuk points out in a simple sense that a nefesh asha'osu would be, for example, their slaves and maidservants that they acquired in Haran. But Rashi brings on the Pasuk from Targum Onkelos, the Yosnach Shosa, the Shabidu Loi Raisa B'Haran, the souls that they had brought under the control of Torah in Haran. So from that point, Avraham and Sarah had been teaching people about Hashem and about the Torah. So from then, Gmiri, we have the Kabbalah, the Avram, he writes about Chamchen, the Tauti Hava, that Avram was 52 years old at the time. So he was 75 when he left Choron. So Tosfos explains that actually he had gone to Choron twice. He had gone to Eretz Yisrael twice. He had first left when he had first left in the year 2000 when he was 52 years old. And then at the Bris Ben Absurdim, when he was 70, he was still there, and then he left and went back to Choron, and 5 years later, when he was 75, then Hashem told him, Lech Lecha, and he left permanently. Tosfos elsewhere discusses this in greater detail, and Tosfos also discusses in some places exactly in what years did the war with the four and the five kings in Parashas Lech Lecha happen, and so forth. The point is, in other words, that we're saying that already from 52, Avraham was starting to create Gerim. And since Avraham was born in 1948, then he turned 52 in the year 2000. So from then begins the years, from then begins the 2000 years of Torah. And so yes, that answers our questions from before. Yes, from then until the times of Amoraim is over 2000 years. So we can bemoan the fact, the Tanna can bemoan the fact that Mashiach's not here yet. And that's why the Tanna is saying that there were 2,000 years of Tohu, and then 2,000 years of Torah, because once Avraham began this effort, once Avraham and Sarah began this effort of Es HaNefesh, Asher Osa B'Choron, then yes, a new era in history begins. So Kama Batsun the Toni Tanna. So then how much do you have then? How much were we missing of the 2,000 years? The Tanna had said 2,000 years of Torah, and we would say, in what year was the Torah actually given? Arameh of Arbon Atman Yashinin Havan. Havan, you have 448 years that you hadn't accounted for yet. Well, there you go. Kima Einas Bey, Niva HaNefesh, Asher Osa B'choron, Ad Matan Torah. If you try to figure out, so how long is it from the year 2000 to Matan Torah? Arameh of Arbon Atman Yashinin Havan. There you go. There's your 448 years. So that's why. From then until, from 2448 until the end of the year 4000 since creation is in fact only 1552 years. So you're wondering then, why was the Tanna saying more than 2,000 years have passed? And again, Rashi makes the calculation where how we have that. You have, they entered, the Yetzias Mitzrayim was in 2448, 40 years in the desert, then 440 years until the first Beis HaMikdash was built. It stood for 410 years. That brings us so far to 890 years after Yetzias, from 890 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Churban Bayis Rishon. 70 years of Golus Vavel brings us to 960. 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash brings us now to 1380. And then 172 years after that, until the year 4000, brings us to 1552. So you were bothered by that's far below 2000. Well, the answer is the difference is 448 years. There's your 448 years from Beis HaNefesh Asher Osa B'choron until Matan Torah. So now, Omer HaPapa, so now that we understand all that, so the Papa says, E toy Tana, suppose that a Tana then is teaching that Tana Dveil Yohu, V'lo Yoda Prata Kamahavi, and he doesn't know what the Prat is supposed to be. Again, that Braisa is supposed to be updated year by year. The Tana is supposed to say, Bavane Senu, Bavane Senu Shadabu, X number of years have passed after the year 4000, and Mashiach isn't here yet. And he's supposed to update it year by year. So suppose he's teaching this Braisa, and he lost track of how many years it is since the year 4000. So what he should do, L'shayla l'safra kamaksiv, he should ask the sofer, who writes according to Minyan Shtaris, what number is he writing this year? Minikti alayu arboin v'tamni, and then he adds 48 years to that. Because again, the sofer's count, the Minyan Shtaris, begins in the year 3448. So when the sofer is writing 48, then the Tana, then, so let's say, for example, so when the sofer is writing, to give the example worked out from my paper before, if it now is the year 720 since Minyan Shtaris, then you have to add 40 on top 48 to the number 20. And then he has his figure. Now he knows it's some number of centuries and 68 years since the year 4000. In our example over here, it's the year 4168. So because again, Minyan Shtaris begins in the year X number 100 and 48 since creation. So therefore, the number of Shtaris is going to be 48 more than the number of years since creation and since the end of any millennium. The Simonach, and the way to remember that number of 48 is, as the Pasuk says, Arboi Mushmoina Ir. You have 48 cities of Levium. So that helps you remember the number. And vice versa, the Toy Safra, if the Sofer makes a mistake and he lost track of what year Lashtoris it is, same thing. In the Shaila of the Tana Kamakatoni, he can ask a Tana who's teaching this Braisa, what year do you have in your version of the Braisa this year? The Nivtsu Minayu Aboy Mashmoina, subtract 48, or Mashka Chloe Vachumri, and then he's going to have his figure, and there he goes. Same thing. The Tana tells him, now I've been saying in my Braisa this year that it's 168 years into the time of what's supposed to be Yemos Mashiach. and Mashiach's not here yet. So the Sefer says, okay, well, 168 minus 48 is 20. Okay, so then I know that the year now is something 20. The Simonach, and again, the Simon like before, Safra b'tzira Tana Tosfa, the Safra does things short, that the Tana teaches the Tesefta, or writes things long, and so the same way that helps us remember that the Sofer has to subtract to get his number, and the Tana has to add to get his number. Which is also why, for example, in each of these cases, for example, the Gemara could have equally well said that the difference between Minyan Shtaris and then counting according to the Churban, the Gemara could have equally said, is 80 years. As again, it began and lived again. The Churban was in the year 380 of Shtaris. But the first of all, with the, and the Gemara could have found a number of a simon involving the number 80, but it wanted to use a simon. We always want to use a simon where the Tana is going to be adding and the Sofer is going to be subtracting, and therefore that's why we use the figures that we did over here, 20 to convert from Shtaris to the Churban, to the Tana has to subtract 20, or rather the Sofer has to subtract 20 and the Tana has to add, and 48 that the Tana has to add and the Sofer has to subtract to convert to the count since creation. And to then to the count since Yemos HaMashiach was supposed to have begun. Okay. Here's another point, also related to this point of figuring out what year it is. Amar Rav Huna b'Rebbe Rav Yeshua, Ein man d'lo yoda kama shnei b'shavua ha'oymer. If a person does not know in what year of Shemitah it is, So now you have the big discussion whether what parts of Shemitah apply nowadays. You have Shemitah, of course, has several different components to it. You have the part where you can't work the land. You have Shemitah's Ksofim. So which one of those are noyig nowadays, Daraisa, and which Rabbanon, is a whole question, but the point is there definitely are things of them that are still applicable. So a person needs to know what year of Shemitah it is. It's also relevant as far as Eretz Yisrael, as far as Trumas and Mais, as far as Maestris, whether you're giving Maestris Sheni or Maestris Oni. So you need to know what year of Shemitah it is. They found in some of these digs in Eretz Yisrael, they found, for example, ancient gravestones. They were always, many of them were dated in the years since the Churban, as well as the year of the Shemitah cycle. So now a person needs to know what year it is. So, he should do as follows. Nitfi Chad Shata. Start with the number of years since Churban by Sheni, and then add one to it. The reason why you're adding one is because the Churban took place. The Gemara explains in a couple of other places, the Churban Bayis Sheni took place, and the Churban Bayis Rishon as well, took place in the year after Shemitah. So that means, in other words, the year zero of the Churban was the year one of the Shemitah cycle. So you have to start by adding one. The Nechshav Kloli B'Yovli, then what you do is, for the Klal, you take there are two yovels in every century, because a yovel is 50 years. So you take the hundreds, and for each century, you take two. You multiply by two. Oprati the shavui, and then as far as the prats, as far as the numbers that don't add up to 100, then those you divide down into numbers of weeks. So into numbers of 7 year cycles. So what you do is as follows. In other words, you figure, before you start doing the actual calculation, you're going to realize to yourself the centuries since the Churban, you're going to have it consists of X number of Yovels and X number of Shemitim. Now, you have several different ways of understanding this piece over here. So we'll start with Rashi's way, and again, you have the second handout of mine that I gave that summarizes the calculation according to Rashi. So what you do is you figure like this. According to the Gemara mentions in other places, in Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, how exactly does Yovel work? We know, of course, you have seven Shemitahs, and then you have Yovel. Is it that the Yovel is also the first year of the next Shemitah cycle? That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. In that case, it comes out that Yovel is every 49 years. You're going to have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, year 49 is Shemitah, year 50 is Yovel, and that year 50 is also year 1 of the next Shemitah cycle. Then the next Shemitah is going to be in the year 56, 7 years after 49, 63, etc. And then you're going to get to the year 98 is going to be Shemitah, and 99 is going to be Yovel, and it's going to come out every 49 years after that, 50, 99, 148, etc., is going to be Yovel. So Rashi explains that the calculation in Al Gemara is following Rabbi Huda's opinion. So therefore, so in each century, you're going to have 2 yovels plus 2 years. And then within the century, you're going to have shemitahs. So now what you do is, so you start by considering the centuries are going to be divided down by yovels. The what's less than a century is going to be divided down by shemitahs. V'nishko mimea trei, so then for each 100 years that are passed, take 2 v'nishnei prati and add it to the prat. Because again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have the 2 yovelos in every century amount to 98 years, 49 plus 49. So you have 2 years left, so for every century you have to count 2 years that are going to go towards the shemitah. V'nechshavinu l'prati v'shavui. Then you start dividing down that prat once you added that all that together by 7. The yavik hamishnei b'shavua, and then you know what year of the shemitah cycle it is. The simonach and you simon to remember to add 2 years for every century, as Yosef says to his brothers, kizeshna sayim harad b'kedav aretz. There's 2 years of famine now that have been so far in Eretz Mitzrayim before you guys came. Rashi also points out, the Gemara in Erchin tells us that according to the second Beis Mikdash stood for 420 years. 420 divides evenly by 7. So in that case then how would you have? How could the Churban have been in the year after a Shemitah? They restarted the Shemitah cycle, presumably, when they built the second Beis Mikdash. And then in that case, then it would come out. The year they built the Beis Mikdash would have been the year zero. The next would have been the year one, etc. And 420 would come out the year of the Churban. So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Erechin, that actually they didn't start the Shemitah right away. Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael 6 years later, and he restarted the Shemitah cycles. So therefore, so you have to subtract 6. So here you have the first opinion on the handout over here. The second Beis Mikdash, they began, they restarted the building of it in the year 3408. 6 years later, in 3414, Ezra comes to Eretz Yisrael and restarts the cycle. So now you have, according to Yehuda, since the Yovel is every 49 years, you're going to have like that, eventually the last Yovel before the Churban comes out in the year 3806. 22 years later, the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, and 22 divided by 7 gives you a remainder of 1, so it was the year after the Shemitah. Now, let's say, for example, I used an example over here involving the year 5,000 and something, 5,015, 5,010, or whatever, because Tosfos gives a calculation involving those numbers, those years, 5,010, 5,015, we're talking in on the secular calendar, those would be years in the 13th century, so that was the time when Tosfos was written. So according to Rashi, then the calculation is as follows. Let's say, for example, it was standing in the year 5015, it's 1187 years since Churban, so now the calculation would be, you add 1, as the Gemara had said, gives you 1188, you have 1150 years, you have two per century, so therefore that's going to give you for 1100 years is 22, and for another 50 years gives you another one, so 23. Then you take, so that's 1150, you have 38 years to go, 23 plus 38 is 61, divide that by 7 is remainder 5, so according to that then it would mean the year 5015 would be the 50 year of Shemitah, and therefore that Shemitah cycle began in the year 5011, and then you have, that means the Shemitah was in 5010, and if you count down to our times, the last Shemitah would have been in 5780. So according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, the last Shemitah, right now we're in 5785, according to Rashi, the last Shemitah was 5 years ago. Now, there are several other explanations among the Rishonim of how we make a calculation exactly, and those have implications in halacha, because ultimately, what year is Shemitah? Nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, when they observe Shemitah, and we in Chutz La'aretz, when we make a prosbul, we consider that the year, for example, we have that the last Shemitah year before now was 5782. So there were various other calculations among the Rishonim of what the year of Shemitah is, and it's very much negei halacha. So Tosfos has a different girsa over here, and a different explanation. In Tosfos' girsa, first of all, you're not adding 1. They bring from Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa that there's none of this adding 1. First of all, Tosfos deals with at great length, among other things, Rashi's calculation, first of all, is predicated on the idea that we would follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as far as where the Yovelos come out, but is that necessarily so? The halacha may actually be like the Chachamim. And according to the Chachamim, the Yovelists interrupt the Shemitah cycle. Namely, according to the Chachamim, 49 is Shemitah, 50 is Yovel. It does not belong to any Shemitah cycle. The year 51 is the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So according to the Chachamim, 57 is the next Shemitah, 64 and so forth. Eventually, you get to, according to them, 99 is Shemitah and 100 is Yovel. And then the next Yovel after that will be 150 and so forth. According to them, the Yovel comes out every 50 years. So Tosfos discusses at great length, is the halacha, in fact, like Rabbi Huda, it may well be according to the Chachamim. And second of all, Rashi's calculation is assuming that the Beis Mikdash was destroyed when we say the second Beis Mikdash stood for 420 years. Now they started building the second Beis Mikdash in Kislev of the year 3408. The Beis Mikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, so it obviously wasn't a complete number of years. It was a certain number of years plus about 7 or 8 months. So what do we mean when we say the second Beis Mikdash stood for 420 years? Do we mean 419 years and change, and it was destroyed in its 420th year? That's how Rashi seems to have it. On the other hand, Tosfos says no. The Beis Mikdash stood 420 complete years, and then it was destroyed a few months into its 421st year. So therefore, so Tosfos says, with all of that, you have to have a different calculation. So Tosfos instead prefers a girsa of Rabbeinu Chananel. Not, first of all, you don't add the 1 year. First of all, what you do is as follows. So let's start by when were the Yovelists. So you have, you can calculate according to the Chachamim, or you can calculate according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim might well say, and Rabbi Yehuda might well say that no, we actually start from when the second Beis Mikdash was rebuilt, not from when Ezra came. So it'll come out the last Yovel before the Churban will have been either in the year 3814 according to the Chachamim or 3800 according to Rabbi Yehuda. Either way, since Tosfos learns that the Churban was in 3829. Then according to Chacham, it would be the 15th year of the Yovel, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be the 29th. Very well, both of those numbers divide by 7 and give you a remainder of 1. So now, Tosfos goes on to make the calculation, then now, Rabbi Chananel's Girsa in the Gemara is not that you add 1, and also not that you divide the centuries by 2, that you divide the centuries, that you take the centuries and multiply the number of centuries by 2, like the way Rashi had said. Rather, Rabbi Chananel's Girsa is that either you subtract 2 or you add 5. You do have the 2 per century, but you also have to, but instead you add 2, add 5 to the number of years since the century. So again, working it out, according to Tosfos, then it would come out that if you're standing in the year 5015, it's the year 1567 of the Churban. It's the year 1567, rather, of Minyan Shtoris, according to Tosfos. The calculation we're making over here is based not on the years since the Churban, like Rashi had said, but rather on Minyan Shtoris, which is 380 years more. So it's the year 1567 L'Shtoris. Subtract 2 or add 5. Take your 2 per century, add the remaining years, and you end up with a remainder of 4. So according to them, then the year 5015 would be the 4th year of Shemitah, which would mean, according to them, that the last Shemitah before they were writing over here would have been the year 5011, and then taking it down to our time, it would mean the last Shemitah was in 5781. So that's Tosfos' calculation. Then you have the Rambam, has yet another shita about it. The Rambam holds, now like this, all this time we've been talking about the Yetzias Mitzrayim when Matan Torah was in 2448, and the first Beis Mikdash was built, and the second Beis Mikdash was destroyed in 3828 and so forth. Now, on top of everything we've been talking about so far, you also have the consideration, when are we counting the years Yetzirah from? So Rishonim explained that there are actually 3 different ways of counting them. Yeah, the way that we count now is called from Molad Baharad, because you calculate the Molad of that first year would have been on Monday, 5 hours and 204 Halakim, Baharad. Now that was actually, that Rosh Hashanah would be an imaginary one. In fact, we call it Molad Tohu. It was actually almost a year before Ma'aseh Bereishis. What happened? Well, B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, Hashem began creating the world in Tishrei, which really means that he began Chof Hei Elul. That Chof Hei Elul has to belong to a year. Yoyim HaChav Shana, Chosh Hashanah. So therefore, so the system developed to imagine to back calculate the Molad, what would have been the Molad Tishrei of that year, that of which we're in the last 6 days of the last 5 days of that year. Hashem actually created the world. It comes out then, and then you start the year from that. You call that year one. You call the year that began with Adam's creation year two, and so forth. We count nowadays according to that. It's called Molad Baharan. When we say now is the year 5785, what we mean it's 5785 since that one imaginary year. It would in fact be now. It's now actually, if we counted instead from the Rosh Hashanah of Adam's creation, we'd actually call it the year 5784. That second method is called Molad V'yad, because the Molad of that year can be calculated to have been on Friday at 14 hours. So therefore, so that's another way of counting. You also have, there's another way, which is to count the complete years, the Mefarish on one of the Pirushim on Rambam's Sefer Hilchos Kiddush, on the Rambam's Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, explains that another possible way is to count from the year after Adam was created, meaning to count the complete years. In other words, in that system, you would say the year of Adam's creation would be called year zero, the same way as like when a baby is born, he's 0 years old, and then a year later he turns one, and so forth. So that would be another way of counting, and that would be a difference of 2 years from the way we count nowadays. Anyway, the Rambam holds that the numbers that we've been giving in the Gemara all this time are according to Minyan V'yad. Now, we count according to Baharad, which means we have to add one more to all the numbers that we've been saying so far. So according to that, for example, Yitzis Mitzrayim would have been in 2449, and Churban Bayis Sheni would have been in 3829, and so on and so forth. So now, making the calculation then, and again, the Rambam also doesn't have the Girsa of adding 1 year, like we said before. He just says, you count the years since the Churban, you divide the centuries down, again, to get the number of the two per century, and add the remaining years, and then you have your, and then the only number that you're doing over there, and as far as manipulating things, is 2 years per century, like the Gemara had given a simon of 2 years, and then you divide it down, and therefore it would come out, to use the year that Tosfos was talking about, it would come out that the year 5012 had been the Shemitah, and then bringing it down to nowadays would be 5782, which is in fact how we do it nowadays. So that's the Rambam's Shemitah. It comes out, by the way, according to the Rambam, that this mitzvah was destroyed in 3829, unlike we were talking about until now. According to Rashi, at least, it was in 3828, and according to Tosfos and the Rambam both agree it was in 3829, but for different reasons. And then the Rambam holds that would have been called year zero of the Churban. Unlike in Tosfos' system, that would have been called year one of the Churban. You have also the Baal HaMor discusses over here in detail and explains yet another way of understanding it is that the numbers in the Gemara are actually meant that, he actually learns that you can construe the Gemara over here to be saying that the Churban was in the year 3830. Namely, you take the Gemara's 3828, you add one because of Molad V'yad, like we said, but in addition, you also have, he would hold like Tosfos that it was in the 421st year, not the 420th, and therefore that would bring us to the year 3830. 3830 corresponds to the year 70 of the Common Era. In Goyish history books, and even many Jewish ones, you can find, they always talk about the Churban as being in the year 70, and that would follow that. That would follow the Baal HaMor's way of looking at it. According to the Rambam, you would have to call it the year 69, which you can also find in many English books on the subject, and according to Rashi, it would have actually been the year 68, 3828. So really, the Nafka Minna of it is, as far as what year is Shemitah, in practice, we follow the Rambam's opinion, although there are posts, and we'll talk about there may be a Nafka Minna of the fact that you do have the other opinions. Maybe it means, therefore, for example, that then maybe that's another reason to say that Shemitah nowadays should be only Dirabbanan, even aside from the other points aside from the point of whether most Jews live in Eretz Yisrael or not, there's also this inherent uncertainty about what year Shemitah is, so that may factor into it. In Yemenite communities, they actually have a minhag where after the kinnis on Tisha B'Av night, they make a public announcement, Achenu Bnei Yisrael, it's X number of years since Churban Bayis Rishon, and X number of years since Churban Bayis Sheni, and they follow the Rambam system in dating it. So there's more detail about chronology and about how to calculate the year of the, and about how to calculate the year, what year Shemitah is. As far as, by the way, how it works as far as the Yovelis, the Rambam writes that when the Bais Hamikdash is standing, the Halacha is like the Chachamim, and the Yovelis interrupt the Shemitahs, and when the Bais Hamikdash is not standing, then it follows Rabbi Yehuda, technically, he says the halacha should still be like the chachamim, but in practice, the goyim tell us the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how we do. Nowadays, it comes out, according to the Rambam's Shita, it comes out that actually Shmita happens to be this, is every seventh year since Maaseh Bereishis. Actually, you divide 5, 7, 8, 2 by 7, it divides evenly. So it's a nice handy way to know what Shmita is, but that's not really what it's based on. It's really based on the restarting of the Shmita cycle at the beginning of the second Mishnah. So in this connection, speaking of the year of the Churban, Omer Rav Chanina, Achar Arameis Shana L'Churban Abayis, 400 years after the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So we said before, the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in 3828. So 400 years after that, says Rav Chanina, which would come to the year 4228. If somebody offers you a field in Chutzlar that's worth 1,000 dinar, and he's offering to sell it to you for only one dinar, Loi Tikach, Rabbi Chanina says, don't buy it. Because that's going to be the ketz. That's going to be when Mashiach's going to come. And why should you waste the dinar? What are you wasting it on buying property in Chutzlar when Mashiach is going to come at that time? The Masnisa, obviously, in Mashiach didn't come at that time, but this is Rabbi Chanina. It was long before that time, and he was giving that as a ketz. We learned in Sanhedrin that you're not supposed to give kitzin, but nevertheless, we do find, even in the Gemara, and we find Rishonim and Achronim who gave various kitzin of when Mashiach is supposed to come. The Gemara had criticized doing that because the Gemara had said sometimes, unfortunately, you have people who say this is the ketz, and if Mashiach doesn't come then, and Chas V'Shalom, he's not coming at all, that's not when the Chachamim gave kitzin. It wasn't for that. It was rather to encourage us, Mashiach is almost here, let's be ready. But not to say that if he doesn't come then, Chas V'Shalom is just not going to come, just meaning that these are more an ace ruts and these particular times that they mention are more of a time when Mashiach is more likely to come. Nowadays, I don't even know if we have any more kitzim that have been said in any svarim that I've talked about many times. Kolu kola kitzim, all the kitzim that have been given throughout the generations have all long since passed. And at this point, why Mashiach has not come is really an unanswerable question. And the only answer is for Mashiach to actually come, miyad mamash. Anyway, so Rav Chanina says that his ketz is 400 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. But Masnisa Tana, a braisa teaches differently. In the year 4231, since creation, if he offers you a field in Chutzlar that's worth 1,000 dinar, and he offers to sell it to you for one dinar, al tikach, don't buy it, because again, you're going to be wasting your dinar. So now Tosfos does point out, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that it doesn't even that Braisa doesn't necessarily mean that Mashiach is definitely going to come at that time. But in other words, that's a most likely time when Mashiach is going to come. It's at least like the earliest time when Mashiach could really come. Basically, Tosfos refers to the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, "My Benai, what's the actual difference in numbers between Rav Chanina and the Braisa?" And the answer is, "Ikebenai, Tlas Shnin, there's a difference of 3 years. The Masnisa Tafia Tlas Shni, the Mishnah is, the Braisa rather, is giving us 3 extra years. Namely, Rav Chanina had said 400 years since the Churban, which brings us to 4228. The Braisa is saying 4231, so it's a difference of 3 years. What actually happened, by the way, I mean, of course, Mashiach did not come then, and it's 1500 years since then. So again, the idea would be that the idea that Ritzvah explains, and in other words, that's the idea. It was a time that was very, very, very prepared for Mashiach to come. They knew that the people would be roy to be redeemed unless there were tremendous averus, and unfortunately, that's how it was. Historically, by the way, the Gaonim, historically we find in Chuvas from the Gaonim and Rav Shira Gaon and other sources that at that time, in these years, 4228 and 4231, those years which correspond to 468 and 471 on the secular calendar, there were tremendous persecutions of Jews in Babel and in Persia and in various other places in the Jewish world. So apparently those would have been the Chevle Mashiach, and Mashiach would have come then had the Jewish people been Zoicha, but unfortunately they weren't. So now, the Rebbe constantly stressed that we're at this point. We always ask, if they couldn't accomplish it, how can we? But we're standing on top of their Meisim Tovim, and we just need to do the final push, and Mashiach will come. Yad Mamash.